Steve, come out of the choir, sit there so you can get a better look at me. All right, I won't spray you too much. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. Spirit-filled life is a message this morning. Beginning with verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. Do you hear that? That He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'll be using other scriptures related to the Holy Spirit here in chapter, in Gospel of John here. To relate to the exercise of the Holy Spirit, there, back years ago when Ulysses Grant was president, there's a Scotsman invited Ulysses to learn a new game. And this new game was golf. And Ulysses stood off to the side. And this Scotsman took his club, he put his ball on the tee, and he said, just watch. I'll demonstrate to you this new game. I think you will like it. So the Scotsman, he took a swing, and he hit the turf. Dirt, gravel, mud just went all over Ulysses Grant and his beard and all the vicinity around him. But the ball remained on the tee. The Scotsman took another swing, and he missed again. Dirt, gravel, just went all the place. Over Ulysses Grant again. Six tries, the Scotsman, he missed, and the ball remained on the tee. Ulysses silently said, you know, I see there's a fair amount of exercise in this game, but I do not understand the purpose of the ball. There is a lot of people in our world today understand and know that the Holy Spirit exercises a lot of things in our life but have no idea His purpose and what it really means in their life to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have an indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives when we are saved. The Holy Spirit comes in, indwells our life, and is there, according to the Scripture, in verse 16, I am with you forever. And for a lot of people, that's just fine. I've got Him. And I don't have to worry about anything else. Where they fail to realize is the Holy Spirit wants to exercise His glory and blessings through their life. See, the disciples had a kind of a misunderstanding because Jesus shared this with them. And He said, you know, you didn't even ask me, because He said, I'm going away and I will send you a helper. And He will guide and direct and teach you exactly what I've been teaching you all of this time. In John chapter 16, verse 8, He says that I will teach you and the Holy Spirit will come and He will convict people of sin. show righteousness and also judgment. And the Bible says that pertaining to sin, the reason he's coming to convict people of sin is because the people has rejected me. So the Holy Spirit's, part of the Holy Spirit's purpose will to convict the world of sin. In the next verse, verse 9 in chapter 16 of John, it says, concerning righteousness, I am going to the Father, and you will see me no more. I am righteous because of the Holy Father upon my life. You are righteous because you have received and dwelling Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am no longer here, but I'm going to the Father, and you'll see me no more, but the Holy Spirit, see, will be with you forever. And then Jesus said, pertaining to the judgment, or judgment, evil, Satan, and the world itself, who rejected me, has already been judged. You see the things that Jesus pointed out. See, that's just a few or three of the things that the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit coming. Now, I want you to look real closely with me this morning as we go through the Scripture. See, the person of the Holy Spirit, he is just like Jesus. In verse 16, the Greek word for another, allon, which means another just like. Another just like me, allon. Okay, that's the Greek word for another. See, by faith, we can appropriate the Spirit's power each day. You see, by faith. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We often quote that Scripture because faith comes by hearing. And see, and when you hear the Word of God, you have a better understanding, a better grasp of what the Holy Spirit's work is. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us in our faith because the Holy Spirit, see, is a promise. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, you are sealed with the promise of the Spirit. See, that's a covenant that God has made with us, that he made with us from the very beginning, actually, of creation. Because salvation has always dealt with faith. Without faith, you won't believe. And that's why Jesus said, you know, the world itself has rejected me. So that's why I'm coming to convict sin. You see, Jesus, when he says, you haven't even said to his disciples, you haven't even asked me where I'm going, because Jesus had been telling them the whole time, I'm going to the Father. I came from the Father, and now I'm going back to the Father. You haven't asked me, because I sense from you, not the joy and excitement that I'm going back to the Father and I'm sending a helper to you, but I sense there's sorrow in your life. Sorrow. Now, would we react the same way, probably? If we knew someone close to us, someone like Jesus, the Son of God, who had been with them, were automatically saying, I'm not going to no longer going to be with you. I'm going back to the Father. I'm going back to heaven. But the comforting thing to Jesus was passing on to them, he said, it's to your advantage. It's to your advantage that I go back to the Father. Because if I don't, then the Holy Spirit, Paracletos, the Greek word for paraclete, will not come. But I'm gone, and I will send him. And another, Alon, is just like me, will be here. You see, Jesus was centrally located, right? Wherever he went, people saw him. But you see, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life constantly, those who are saved. Amen? For us who are saved, for believers, for Christians, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit moment by moment. And you see, the more we understand the exercise of the Holy Spirit in our life and understand that He wants to work through our life, the better grasp we have what Jesus is saying here, to convict sin for righteousness and then the judgment of the world. Now, let's look a little bit further here in this scripture. In verse 16, he says, He will be with you forever. And in verse 17, the world at large cannot see. It says, you not understand or accept. See, yet, when we see this, Jesus later pointed out the Holy Spirit's work in the world. Okay, there are several factors prevent people understanding the Holy Spirit until after they believed in Christ. First, see, the Holy Spirit speaks a heavenly message, the words of Christ. You see, everything that Christ says, you see, when I think about what Jesus is saying, everything I have told you, everything that you have heard me say, see, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will reveal to you exactly what we've been talking about, what we've been going over, what you've experienced, what you have seen, and what you will see in the future, you see? Because guess what? It was because of the Holy Spirit, the revelation from God, that we have His Word. And 4, 5, 6 of the apostles and disciples wrote what was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. And you see, once they grasp that, they have a better understanding of what the Holy Spirit's work was in their life. You see, the same Holy Spirit that spoke through them and spoke through all the prophets through the years speaks to us and through us today. We are not to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, we hear about charismatic and all of this and people speaking in unknown tongues and so forth like that. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to energize us to live the life of Christ. That should be exciting in your life, knowing that you have God's Word and that at any moment that you need any assistance from the Lord, He's right there ready to listen. Because Scripture says, if you seek, if you ask, if you knock, I will be there. So, the Holy Spirit, we have direct access. You know, how many of you often think, I wish I could dial 911 to heaven? 911. Because people dial 911 all the time to get assistance here on earth, right? And when you dial that, do you expect to get a response? Yeah. And sometimes it might be 20 minutes, 30 minutes, it might be an hour. But eventually, help comes. Well, you do have direct access to the Heavenly Father. It's a lot better than what we have here on earth. Because He said, I'll never forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. And we might often think, well, why doesn't He answer quicker? Well, sometimes, you know, we delay things in our life because we're not where we ought to be in relationship with the Lord. because it's not name and claim it like some that you hear and often it's preached. You name it, you're going to get it, you claim it. But the Holy Spirit, you see, is willing to work in our lives as we give access of our life to Him. And that's why we need to give more of ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit to see the Holy Spirit's active work. Now, secondly, the Holy Spirit reverses one's way of thinking, okay? And the reason I say that is people naturally place themselves at the center of everything. Is that right? Isn't that human nature? We place ourselves at the center of everything? Is that where it needs to be in our lives? The Holy Spirit places Christ and His purpose, you see, at the center. See, the Holy Spirit is a guide to keep us on course and ensure we are focusing on the right things. There's a story involving Yogi Berra, the well-known catcher for the New York Yankees. You remember him. And Hank Aaron, who at time was the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves. And they was in the World Series. And you know the history of Yogi Berra was that he would often chant or harass the batters as they come up. And he did this to pump up his team and to distract the other team. And that's what he was doing. And Hank Aaron came up to bat. He got in position, and Yogi said, "Hey, Henry, your bat is turned wrong. You need to be able to read the trademark." He called him Henry. It's Hank Aaron. But he followed through and hit another home run. Hank Aaron ran the bases, and when he hit home plate, he stopped. He looked at Yogi, and he said, "Yogi, I'm not here to read. I'm here to bat." You know what? That's what we're here. We're here to bat. We're not here to be distracted by the things of the world. You see, that's why Jesus said, I send the Holy Spirit because He's going to convict people's sin. He's going to show you my righteousness, and He's going to judge the world. You see, you don't want to get distracted. You don't want to get, you know, miss the base. You want to eventually run all the bases here on earth and wind up eventually in heaven, which is the home place. So there's going to be a lot of distractions in our life today. Just like Yogi trying to distract Aaron. See, he was focused. He knew what his purpose was. He wasn't sit there and read the bat and see how it was made and who made it and so forth. It was an instrument for him to use to hit good balls. The Holy Spirit is an instrument in our life to help us hit home runs for Christ. And you see, the only way that we would do that if we are totally focused on the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is practical. He walks alongside us in circumstances. In John 14:6, it says, "Helper," which is paratos, paracletus. Para means alongside, and cletus means to be called. Personal, since He walks alongside every believer, He knows all about you and me. You see, He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our... You see, that's why Jesus was able to pick up on the disciples. Either it was on their faces, it was probably on their faces, it was in their hearts, but Jesus said, "You know, I'm saying this to create joy for you, but I see that you are sorrowful." So, Christians, we are to be the most joyous people upon the earth because we have a relationship with Christ who died for us on the cross so that we might one of these days spend eternity with Him. So when we think about our relationship with Him, we should be joyful because it is a personal relationship. And then the Holy Spirit is available. See, He's ready to listen 24 hours a day, and we can sense His care when our hearts are clean. He's accurate. He can handle every challenge we face. He holds the future. And you see, we don't have to fret about the future. We can think about it. We're often concerned the way the world is going. But you see, God holds all the keys. He holds the world in His hands. And if He can create and put us here the way He has in the universe, you know, as He has placed it, everything by clockwork, then He will see us through eternity. You know, a lot of painful and hurtful and devastating things happen in this life. But if we, with the power of the Holy Spirit, can keep focus on the true purpose and meaning of our life here and how the Lord wants to work through our lives from now to eternity, we'll have a better perspective of God's view, His perspective. See, not our perspective, but His perspective about our life. And He's dependable. The Holy Spirit is dependable. He's never late or worried about His capabilities. You see, others in our life may desert us, but He with us, no matter how bad things get. He's always with us, and He's wise. See, He expects us to do our part and be responsible. There's a story about a man who was traveling through the desert, and his car broke down. And he knew he had to have water or he couldn't go on. So he got out and he walked, looking for water. And at a distance, he saw something that looked like a handle or pump. You've seen the old-fashioned pumps. And when he got up to it, he noticed that there was a note on the handle. It says, "There is a bottle of water to north of here, so many steps. In that hole is a bottle of water. It's corked. And that bottle of water is to use to prime this pump. There's a leather washer, and out here in this desert, it dries up. Now, this well will pump all the water that you need. All the water you need. But if you choose to drink this bottle, then you will not have enough to prime the pump. Take a fourth of it and pour it on that washer and let it soak, and then pour the rest moderately into the pump and pump as hard and fast as you can, and the water will come gushing out." That's what the man did, and he got water. He drank all the water he needed, and he took for his car. And at the end, it says, "Refill this bottle and place it back where you got it for the next person that comes by, because he too will need these instructions." You see, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, flows multiple blessings in our life. In John chapter 7, verse 38, says, "Whosoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." You see, if spiritual fruit, which includes love, joy, peace, and etc., isn't evident in your life, then you're not really surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And this is why I say that. The degree to which you yield your life to him is the degree to which your life will be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. If you will let him, the helper, the Holy Spirit, will live the life of Christ through you. You know, I could preach another 2 hours on this message, the Holy Spirit, the helper, the paraclete, the comforter, the provider, the sustainer of all life. You see, very present in our life. And see, he goes really unnoticed in our life on a daily basis. And maybe sometimes we don't even pay any attention, or unless we hear the word or read it, unless we're in trouble or we need assistance, then it's, oh yeah, I have the Holy Spirit in me. I can call on him. But you see, the more we yield, the more we surrender, the more we realize his presence. It's just like the fellowship of us. It's just like your spouse. It's just like someone, your closest friend. You know that you can depend upon them. You know that they're right there for you. And when you need them, you know they're going to be there for you. And see, the Holy Spirit is more dependable than that, if we just understand his purpose in our life. Because see, the more we yield and surrender to the person of the Holy Spirit, got me? The more we yield to him, the more he'll live his life through us and reveal his life to us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we are indwelled with your presence. Lord, we thank you that it is through your Holy Spirit that we have life. We have it abundantly, and we have it eternally. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, we know that you convict us of sin, our shortcomings. You're willing to forgive and erase those sins from our past. You provide the righteousness that we need to live daily for you. And when we sin, Lord, we know that our sins have already been judged. But Lord, it is our responsibility to ask you daily to cleanse us, make our hearts pure and our minds clean. Whatever the needs are here today, Lord, we just pray that each and every one will, as the Bible says, examine ourselves. And whatever you surface, whatever you bring to our view or present to us, may we respond openly and be honest with you about our condition. And say, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. I confess. I repent. Because I want to be in perfect fellowship with you. And we are thankful, Lord, that you sent the Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us and to teach us and guide and direct and protect our ways, our paths, and our future. We just praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hymn invitation this morning is 364.